Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Nehemiah Perek Gimel, the third chapter of the book of Nehemiah. We know at this point in time Nehemiah is trying to upgrade and protect the walls of Yerushalayim, and this is what our Perek is about. It has 38 psukim, and just a general introduction to get a sense of how it works is we're going to hear him going around the city with different teams to fix the different parts of the wall and the gates. It's completed. It's a project which is finished in a very rapid period of time. It's going to be finished in 52 days under very difficult circumstances. In order to facilitate this, what Nehemiah does is he divides up the teams responsible for each of the gates. We see that there are all kinds of different people on the teams. We see the Kohen Gadol is going to be on one of the teams. There is going to be somebody's daughters. There's going to be the seventh son of somebody. We're going to see lots of different descriptions of those people who are immortalized in their work of building the walls of Yerushalayim. We do not know exactly where all the gates that are described are, because those are the markers of the wall. So you're going to hear about the walls between gate X and gate Y. The reason we don't know is because this only lasted for the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, when it was destroyed, when Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, these walls were destroyed, and later on raised to the ground by Hadrian. And the walls that we have were only created by Suleiman the Magnificent, really, in the Middle Ages. So some of the walls were built on the foundation of the original walls, but certainly it's not the same, exactly the same structure and footprint. The sanctification of the walls that describes over here is going to be very important, because we're going to have a complete sanctification of the walls. Kidsha Shnia in Perek Yud Beis will get there as well. And we should realize that anybody who's mentioned here, that Tanakh takes the time to enumerate and to list, obviously it's in a sense of great honor that that person's name is immortalized for all of history as having taken the leadership to build the walls of Yerushalayim. So in the first two psukim, we're gonna go through stage by stage very briefly. First two psukim, we hear about Shair Hatzon. We start off on the sheep gate, and it describes how they sanctify it. They put up its doors, they put up the tower which is by it, and they were Makadosh it, they sanctified it. And it describes who was on that team. In this case, it's Eliashiv the Kohen Gadol and his brothers, and there's the Anshe Yerechoi and Zakur ben Imri in this particular case. We're not going to go through all the names in general, just to get a sense of this. The Malbim points out that if you look very carefully, we are starting on the eastmost side of Yerushalayim, which is where the Beis HaMikdash was, and we're moving our way upwards counterclockwise. So we're going to move north, west, south, and then back east again. The word Kidshuha, which means to sanctify it in this case, can mean that it is that this is where the Korbanos came through, says Rashi as an example, or just means that they prepared it, Mekadesh, to set it aside to fortify this gate as well. Okay. These are the possibilities that Ralbag suggests this. We now move in Pesukim Gimel to Hay, and we talk about the wall now between or going up to from the fish gate, Shair Hadagim. This gate is in the northeast corner, so we've moved up from the east side to the northeast corner. And why is it called Shair Hadagim? Rav Schwab says, the Dat Mikra argues, that this is probably where the fishmonger market was, and the gate was called because it was adjacent to that. It describes having a ceiling, Hema Keiruhu. They made a ceiling on it. What does that mean? So that means to say that Ralbag says they had some sort of canopy, which was in front of the gate for rain and for inclement weather. We hear about lots of different groups of people who come. In this particular case, in Pasuk Hey, we hear about the Tekoim, that who come, and they didn't bring their masters to do this work. Who are the Tekoim? So the Malbim says this is likely a group of folks who were never exiled to Babylon in the first place. They remained in Israel, and therefore they were under the jurisdiction of the Pecha of Ever Anar, on the governor of the Syrian side, which means they didn't have as much flexibility. But because they were a powerful group, it's described that they came independently. They had their own flexibility. We now move on further, Psukim Vov to Yud Beis, where we hear about now moving from the Shair Hadagim to the Shair HaYashana, to the old gate, and describes how this group now goes and fixes this gate. And we hear about a number of people who are involved in this. We hear about Givon and Mitzpah, who really belong under the jurisdiction of Pachas Evranar, but they are given permission, or they're able to fix this gate. We hear about another whole bunch of group of people, and we described how they fix up this wall ad ha'choma ha'rechova, until the thick wall around this area as well. And we talk about it being in Midash Rishon and Midash Shenis. There's two Midas, which sounds like there's two areas of wall, because it's a long wall, that there's two groups working on it as well. So just a few quick points. This gate, Shaar HaYeshana, is in the middle of the northern wall. And this is actually called Shaar HaYeshana because it was part of the original wall built by Shlomo Melech in the first Beis HaMikdash, which actually relates to the idea of the Choma Rechava, this wide wall that they're building, because the Malbim explains that the northern side of the city actually faced the plain. It was not buttressed by mountains, which meant to say that it was more susceptible for attack and needed stronger protection, which is why the wall is thicker in this gate over here, and which is why they needed to do extra work. You'll notice just an interesting thing, that in this group is a person by the name of Chashuv ben Pachas Moav, a man by the name of Chashuv, who's the son of the governor of Moab. So you hear really an incredible different group of people in each situation. You'll also notice at the end over here that they build it until the Migdal HaTanurim. They build the Tower of Ovens. What does that mean? So Rav Sadia Gaon explains that in Yerushalayim in those days, they were not able to have personal ovens. It was against the law because of interfering with the smoke stack of the Ma'aracha, of the Beis HaMikdash. And so they're on the far side of the city, which is the northeast corner, they would have this northwest corner, they would have this area where you would have public ovens, which people would use to bake their bread. We move on to Pesukim Yud Gimel and Yud Daled, where we hear about the next part of the wall up to the gates of Shaar Hagai, that's the gate of the valley, and Shaar HaAshpot, the gate of the garbage, which was taken out. This is in the southwest corner. This is where we are today. Why is it called such? So it's hard to know exactly. None of the Farshim really address this, but it probably means that it overlooked the valley. It was perhaps a place where there was disposal, which was being used. We now move on further into Shaar HaAyin. So if you think about this, we've now moved around the city to the south side, southwest side, towards the bottom left corner. If the orientation is north, is upwards. And now we move in Pesukim Tesvav to Chofei, from that area to the Shaar HaAyin. Shaar HaAyin means the fountain gate, and we hear about it being an area around the Chomas Brechas HaShelach. It's around the pool of the Shelach, or what we call today the Shiluach, the spring. And we talk about, and it describes how down there are steps to a garden of the king, which are down there. Which are by the burial area of the house of David. And we hear a whole group of people who are involved in all of this. We hear about two stages, starts parts of wall, Midash and Nis again. And we hear about people who make the wall Neged Beisam by their houses, which means that some of these people also had interest, self-interest, in the sense that their houses were in the wall. So by fortifying the wall, they're fortifying their houses as well. This is part of the eastern wall because the Shiluach is by the Kidron Valley. So we're back on the east. So we've moved north, west, east, south, and back to east now. And this is towards the bottom area of the eastern wall where we have this Shaar HaAyin, the fountain gate. It is because obviously it is above or adjacent to the Shiluach spring, so that's why it's necessary. What are these stairs in the garden? So Rav Sadia Gaon explains the Shiluach pool was the place where they would wash the clothes for the purposes of Tahara. The Ralbag explains that the king had a beautiful garden down there and was fed from the channel of this spring. it is interesting that there's also an area called Pelach Beis Tzur, which is an area where it seems that facing the graveyard of the house of David, there are the Giborim. There's this area where the strong men of David would have a fortified section within the wall. This is all about this area around here. We now move on to the next area, Chof Vav to Chof Zayin, where we hear about between the Shaar HaAyin, the fountain gate, and Shaar HaMayim, the water gate. This is on the other side of the Shiluach spring. This is on the east side again of the wall, towards a little bit further north, towards the Beis HaMikdash. It was called Shaar HaMayim because through this they would bring water to the Beis HaMikdash from the Shiluach through the Ezras Nashim. So it's very close to the Beis HaMikdash. We also hear about an area called Chomas HaOfel, and this is a fortified area just outside of the wall as well. We hear about the Nesinim, who are the Givonites, who are dedicated by Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua as being water carriers, who live around this area. And it makes sense because they are next to the water itself. We then move up northwards a little further more to the Shaar HaSosim and the Shaar HaMizrach, the horse gate and the eastern gate. The Shaar HaSosim is just below the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shaar HaMizrach is actually into the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is right on the wall, on the eastern wall of the the wall of Yerushalayim, so the Shaar HaMizrach would go straight into the Beis HaMikdash as well. The Shaar HaSusim, the horse gate, is probably because, as the Ralbag points out, this is where the cavalry entered. It probably had a higher clearance to be able to allow horses and riders in. As well, we also hear about in this area about the Shaar HaMifkar and the Aliyah Sapina. What is Shaar HaMifkar? This explains it was actually another gate directly onto Har HaBayis, and it was a gate through which things would be taken to be burnt. You know, when it talks about that when they were on the Avodah Yom Kippur or the Parah, they would take out things to be burnt outside the city, they would use the Shaar HaMifkar to exit. So we've really done a full circle to the top northeast area. Now, after all this is finished, we hear about in Pesukim Lamed Gimel to Lamed Hey, the scorn of the neighbors. So Sanballat and Tovia hear about this, and they get really upset, and they start mocking them. So listen to what they say. So Sanballat jumps in, and he starts jeering to his foe, to his folks in his army, and he says, Mahayudim ha'ulalim osim. What are these, you know, good for nothing, sad Jews doing? Hayazulahem, hayizbuchu hayichlu bayom. Are they going to be able to finish fixing up their wall in a day? They're going to bring back life to these dead stones which are burnt and turned into dust. And then Tovia jumps in, you know, because, you know, whenever you have a crowd of jeerers, it's always good, you know, everybody feels like they need to get pick up a microphone. And he goes and he says, as they're building, you know, Shual, a little fox will come and just touch the wall and it'll fall apart. You know, so the Ralbag sees over here the idea of hayichlu vayom, will they finish in a day, a veiled threat as well, meaning what they're essentially saying is, if you don't finish today, we're going to destroy it tomorrow, so how fast can you really make it? Also, the idea of the fox over here is the fox is a very weak creature, so they're giving an example of, like, you know, a little fox touching the wall and everything falling down. But it could also be referencing the prophecy of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who talks about the shualim hilchu boy, the idea of basically remaining in a state of perpetual destruction. It's interesting to know that these are the kind of questions that we hear today. These are the questions that we heard 150 years ago when the first settlers returned to Israel and started draining the swamps, and people said, yeah, really? Are you going to really succeed? And it's the same, the history does repeat itself, which is what we're hearing here. How does Nehemiah respond? He doesn't actually respond to them. The last three psukim of the Perek Lamed Vov to Lamed Ches, we hear the way that Nehemiah responds is by praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nehemiah does this all the time. He turns to Hashem and he says, don't listen to them. Don't let us be this embarrassment. Don't let our sins get in the way. Please let us be able to succeed and not to be interfered with by these folks. And because the wall is already half built, he describes, the people are encouraged to continue. So Nehemiah has to balance the goodwill of the people, the neighbors, and also being able to be successful, and that's the remarkable leadership we're witnessing. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.